Okay, and with this introductory song, we'll be continuing our Purim pounding, our studies in Purim up until the holiday of Purim next week, Habalim Latova, and today we'll be studying the topic of Ad Lo Yada, the seemingly obligation on Purim to become intoxicated. And Be'ez Hashem will discuss tonight both the halachic and hashkafic ramifications of this din, and hopefully everything in between. So let's begin. And it appears that at the end of Megillas Esther, there's a pasuk which tells us that after Mordechai and Esther established Purim, and the Jews rested from their enemies after defeating them, the Megillah says that we should lasos osam yemei mishteh v'simcha u'mishloach manos ish l'reyeyu u'matonos le'evyonim. That is in Perek Tes in the Megillah. And Chazal take the words yemei mishteh v'simcha, which is the obligation of our mitzvah nowadays to have suda. But based on that, the Gemara Megillah daf Heyamit Beis says v'tani Rav Yosef simcha. What does the word simcha teach us in the Megillah? So malamid she'asurim behesped. Teaches us that it is usur to give a eulogy on Purim, because Purim is a happy time, and we are forbidden therefore to give eulogies. And what does the Gemara learn from the word mishteh? What does Chazal teach us? They teach us mishteh malamitsha asur betainis. They teach us that it is usur to fast on Purim. That is learned after the words yemei mishteh v'simcha. So this is what Chazal darshan out of the words yemei mishteh v'simcha. But what exactly is the real pshat? What's the real pshat behind mishteh v'simcha? We know that in Seuda, but maybe there's something a little bit more. So moving on to the next source, source number three is the Gemara, very well known Gemara. Even if you've never seen it inside, it's certainly well known amongst obviously the chevra here. And the Gemara in Megillah also, in Daf Zayim Beis, Amar Rava Mechayev Inish Libesume Bepuraya Ad Lo Yada Bein Araham on the Baruch Mordechai. A very strange statement by Rava that a person has an obligation on Purim Libesume, which Rashi explains Libesume means the Hishtaker Beyayin, to get drunk with wine on Purim, until one does not know the difference between Haman, cursed Haman, and the blessed Mordechai. And the Gemara continues, it says a very strange and interesting story. And that is that Rabba v'Rev Zeire avdu su'udas Purim b'hadi hadadi. Rabba and Rev Zeire made su'udas Purim together one year. Ivsum, they got drunk. Kam Rabba shachte Rev Zeire. Rabba got up in his drunkenness and slaughtered Rev Zeire on the spot. Lamachar, the next year, the next day, Roa got up, he davened that Rav Zeire should come back to life, and kachava, this happens. So Lashana Amarle, the next year, Roa said to Rav Zeire, Nesi Mar V'Navid Sudas Purim Bali Adadi. He says, let's make Purim together. Wouldn't that be gavaldic? Amarle, Rav Zeire said back to him, Lo Bechol Shaisa V'Shaisa V'Shrachis Nisa. Rav Zeire said, sorry, Rava, I'm going to kindly decline your request. For if you remember what happened last year, things did not get pretty, and therefore, lo b'chol shayas v'shayas v'shayas nisa means not every year can we expect a miracle to happen. And just as a side note, Chassidim like takes this line and put a little twist on it, and they say, not lo b'chol shayas v'shayas v'shayas nisa, but rather lo, comma, Bechol Shaisa V'Shaisa Mishrach Hishnisa. No, comma. Every time you can expect a miracle. Okay, but that's just an interesting aside. The Chassidim like to interpret the Gemara. But the Pashtus is that Reb Zeire declined Rava's invite because of him being slaughtered the year previous year. Now, we won't get into the understanding of this Gemara. Obviously, we'll take it with a grain of salt for now. But at least the din that Rava tells us that a person should become intoxicated on Purim is, no question about it, very strange. Because we have several cases throughout Tanakh, cases of with Lot specifically and Noach, who both sinned egregiously due to their intoxication. So we have to understand, is this line of Rava, is it halacha, is it minhag, is it accepted, is it rejected? So I've included on the source sheet over here just a few of the commentaries. Obviously, it's spoken about at length amongst, but I've highlighted some of the major ones. And in the pro column, as you guys see, there's I put the Rif, the Rambam, and the Tur, some of the foremost halachic decisors of our time, not of our time rather, but of our history, and they all seem to quote the Gemara verbatim, which would imply that the halacha is in fact like Rava. The fact that a person should get drunk on Purim until he does not know the difference between Har Aman and Baruch Mordechai. So the truth is, the Rif and the Tur both quote the Gemara verbatim. However, the Rambam adds something else. He says like this. He says, "V'shosa yayin ad shishtaker." A person should drink wine until he's drunk. V'yirdom b'sichrus. And then he vayirdim is a strange word, because the simple interpretation is that it means vayirdim b'sichrus means you should go descend in your drunkenness, from the word yarad, to descend. However, I saw in the Aruch HaShulchan that he interprets the Rambam as explaining that vayirdim b'sichrus means that a person should descend to the depths of slumber. Vayirdim means to slumber in a sichrus, and it does not mean a person should become overly intoxicated. Rather, it means a person should simply get a little more drunk than usual and fall asleep, and we'll see that shita elsewhere later. But yes, the Aruch HaShulchan wants to explain the Rambam as not really a proof for Rava, but rather as Netzatova not to become entirely smashed, Lagambre. Okay, so those are really the pro sides, and I've also included some of the ones who disagree. And that most notably is the Baal Ma'or and the Ran, on the Dapei Arif in the Masechet Megillah. Both quote a certain Rabbeinu Ephraim, who says, Meho Uvda, the Kamrava Shachte the Rabzeira, and Lishana Amalei Ton Na'avid. So by the fact that Rava got up and shachted Rav Zera, and then in the previous year, Rav Zera declined the offer to do it again, so we see, says Ravino Ephraim, that Inchile Memra de Rava Vales Hilchasakavase, Velav Shapir Dami Lameavid Hachi. We see that the statement of Rava is completely pushed off, and the halacha is not like Rava, and to do such a thing, to get drunk and pour him, is not a good idea. This is what the Baal Ma'or and the Ran say, quoted Ben Ephraim. There's also the Shita Sami'iri on that Gemara, and he says like this, Chayav Adam Laharbos B'Simcha B'Yom Zeh U'Ba'Achila U'B'Shtiyah Ad Shelo Yichaser Shum Davar. A person should definitely increase his Su'udah on Purim, and he should not be lacking anything from the Su'udah. But he says, Mikol Makom Ein Anu Mitzuven Lihishtaker L'Hafchis Atzmeinu Mitoch HaSimcha Shelo Nitztavinu Ala Simcha Shal Holos V'Shal Shtus Ela b'simcha shal tainug, shenagi b'soch la'avas Hashem v'hoda al anisim v'sha'asa lona. So Meir is very stark in his lashon. He says straight up that a person should not become overly drunk, excuse me, in his celebration of Purim, and because we are not commanded on the simcha of holos and shtus, foolishness and emptiness. Rather, we're commanded to be b'sameach through Ahavas Hashem, loving Hashem, and to be thankful for the nisim that he did for us. So the Miri straight up says, Rava's din is not taken literally. A person should not become overly intoxicated to the point where he is just utterly doing foolishness. That would not be a good idea. And possibly even more stronger than the Miri, we have the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef, Yosef Karo, quoting a Orchos Chaim in Hilchos Purim, and he says like this, Chayev inish libesume bipuraya, Lo shishtakev shashichrus iser gomor. So forget the fact that it might be a mitzvah to get drunk. Says the Beis Yosef, that it's an iser gomor. It is completely forbidden to become so drunk. V'ein lecha avera gedol mizu, and there is no greater sin than to get drunk like this. Shehu gorem lagilo yairayas v'shvichas damim v'kama avera zulasan. Ach shishtakev Yosef min lemudel ma'at. He says there is no greater avera than to get super drunk, because it is the cause for doing licentiousness, engaging in forbidden relations, and even killing. Possibly it means killing via words, meaning saying bad things, saying lashon hara about someone else that you wouldn't say if you were sober. And therefore he says, better not to get completely drunk, rather maybe have a little more wine than usual, and that's it. But certainly not to get completely drunk, says the Beis Yosef, says the Meiri, says the Baal Ma'or, the Ran, they all say that Rav Rava's din is not to be taken literally, not to be taken the halacha. What is the practical halacha? We will get to later on in the shir. But the next question that arises, the next aspect I want to take up within this context of Chayav Nishta Besume, is the notion of, is the obligation to drink on Purim, is it an all day chiyuv? Meaning the moment Purim comes, should I start drinking all day? Or do I only have to drink at the Seuda? So there are those who like to interpret, who like try to be medayik, try to be exacting in the Rambam, that how the Rambam would seem to say. And the Rambam says like this. He said, Ketzad chovas seudizu. This is the Rambam in Hilchos Megillah, Perek Beis Halachot Hezvav. How should one perform the mitzvah of the Seuda on Purim? So he says, Sheyochol basar v'itakein seuda na kifisha asher timsa yado. So by the fact the Rambam includes eating meat and being and establishing a seuda, a nice seuda, and drinking wine during that seuda, it implies that the chiyuv of drinking on Purim is only in the seuda. So all you guys who want to, you know, get drunk Purim night, you want to start drinking early in the morning. According to the Rambam, it's implied that this is not the obligation, and that a person would only have to drink during their actual Seuda Purim when they wash and they sit down for a meal. That's the entire chiyuv. Okay, maybe it could be the Chol HaMarbez Harizah Meshubach, but through the Pasha of the Rambam, it would imply that the chiyuv is not all day, it is only during the Seuda of Purim, because that's when the Mishnah V'Simcha really is happening. Now, another aspect to take up in this topic of Chayav Nishta B'Sume is, what is the nature of the chiyuv to drink? Is there a sheer shtia, is it a sheer shtia, or is it a gavul hachova? And is it that the idea of drinking on Purim is that there's a certain amount that a person has to drink, and therefore once you've drunk that amount, what would the amount be until it's adalo yada, then you're yotzei? Or is it a gavul hachova, or is it just a suggested border for the chova, and you should keep going at it even past that point? So the Sfas Emes in his commentary on Shas, the Sfas Emes on that Gemara in Megillah seems to imply that it is a shir shtia. Shir shtia meaning that once you've reached the status of Adela Yada bin Araham al Baruch Mordechai, you have fulfilled your obligation, and the Nafkamina of course would be that if one were to sober up, they have their suitor in the morning, let's say, and a few hours later they sobered up. So the question is, would they have to continue to keep drinking to remain in that status? So according to the Sfas Emes, it comes out that since it's only a shir shtia, once you've reached your obligation, you're yotzei, and even if you sober up, you don't have to go back and continue to drink and to reach that state again. So that's a couple of different caveats within this obligation. We saw from the Rambam that it's only a chiyuv at the seuda, and according to the Sfas Emes, once you've reached the status of intoxication, you would not have to re-drink again if you become sober. The next topic I'd like to take up is what exactly, and this is, I think, the most interesting, the most fun part of this sugya, is what is the obligation exactly of Ad lo yada ben arahaman lebarach Mordechai? What exactly does that mean? Because the Gemara could have just said, you should drink until you become drunk, or to become intoxicated. What exactly does the Gemara mean when it says, get drunk until you do not know the difference between Haman and Mordechai? So there's an endless amount of material, different opinions of what this means, but I've included some of the major ones, some of the famous ones, and we'll go through them right now. So, in this commentary on Shulchan Aruch, the Magen Avraham, it's in Tuf Reish Sadi Hei, says a very interesting one-liner. And he notes that if you take the Gematria, I know I'm not a Gematria Jew, but if the Magen Avraham wants to say it, we'll teach it. The Magen Avraham says that if you take the Gematria of Arur Haman, so if you do the math, you get 502. And if you take the Gematria of Baruch Mordechai, you will also get 502. So what it means, when the Gemara says, drink to Adela Yada bin Arur Haman Baruch Mordechai, says the Magen Avraham, Yesh Omrim Shalo Yada Lachshov Sha'ar Haman Begematria Baruch Mordechai. Drink till you become intoxicated, so that you're no longer to perform the mathematical calculations to determine that Baruch Haman and Baruch Mordechai are equal. Okay, very interesting idea about the Magen Avraham. That's one opinion about what it means. So you can't do the math anymore. However, the Taz takes a different approach. The Taz, also on Siman Tov and Sadi Hay, has an opinion. Has an opinion that what exactly was the greater miracle on Purim? Was it the fact that we were able to kill Haman? Or was it the fact that Mordechai was able to rise to a certain level of gedula, to a certain level of greatness? So because we're besafik, because we're not sure which one is greater, which one's not, so says the Taz, you should get so drunk so they don't know the difference, which is the greater tova, which we should give to, more shavach to Hashem for, the fact that he killed Haman, or the fact that he brought Mordechai to greatness. So I guess it's nice. The problem I have with the Taz is that even if you're sober, you have a hard time differentiating which is the better, which is the finer shavach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, but again, interesting idea. And the third idea I'd like to include is the opinion of the Aruch HaShulchan in Tofresh Adi Hei Siv Gimel. But before we get to that, let's just note what Tosfos says on that sugya on Zion and Beis and Megillah. Tosfos just as a one-liner, and he quotes a Rishalmi, which seemingly is a continuation of Ad Lo Yada Ben Arhaman Baruch Mordechai. And the Rishalmi says like this: Arura Zeresh, cursed is Zeresh. Zeresh was Haman's wife. Barucha Esther, blessed is Esther. Arurim Kol Rishayim, Baruchim Kol Yehudim. Cursed is all the wicked ones, and blessed is all the Jews. So, based on this, the Aruch HaShulchan says that... Right, first he notes the question, Ach, in a move on the fizeh, lama hayo le'ashas lamar b'loshem mishuna ad lo yada? So he says, it's very strange, why would the Gemara use the lashon, a very strange lashon of ad lo yada? Right, he says, lema chayav le'mesume ad sheyardum. Say that you should get drunk until you're drunk or until you fall asleep. V'hi tamua, and this is a big wonderment. So he says, V'yish akasva, there are those who explain, Shahaya etzlam zemer shahaya mesayim ba'ar haman u'baruch Mordechai, v'haya zemer aruch, u'kishahu mevusa ma'at, lo yuchali amro kulo. So really, ar haman u'baruch Mordechai is part of a longer song. It's part of a zemer, he says. And that song is the rest of the line of Tosfos, that so he says you should become drunk to the point where you're no longer able to sing the song because of its lengthiness. The problem is that it's really not so long, but I can understand getting to the point of drunkenness where you can no longer sing the song because you don't know all the words. So that's how the Aruch HaShulchan understands the concept of Ad Lo Yada, that you're no longer able to sing the song of Bein Ar Haman Baruch Mordechai. Okay, those are some of the reasonings. Now I want to show you guys a very interesting opinion of the Maharsha. This Maharsha doesn't appear in Maseches Megillah, rather in Maseches Bava Metzias in the Daf of Gimel in Perek Eilim Metzias, and it's based on the Gemara. The Gemara says in Eilim Metzias over there, it says, "Damar Rabbi Yehuda Mar Shmuel, Bahani Tlas Mile Avidi Rabbanan Demishanu Bimilayu." So the Gemara says there are three things that Chazal permitted someone to lie about. Meaning, the Torah says, we never sheker tirchak, that a person has to always refrain from lying. However, there are certain scenarios where a person is allowed to lie. And the Gemara lists three such cases. They are, b'maseches, u'bepuraya, u'beushpiza. And in each of these three cases, there's a machlokas, Rashi Tosfos, in that Gemara b'matsia, about what does each one mean. And from Maseches, Rashi explains, Maseches means that person is not to lie about something they learned. So for example, if Zach, if someone asks you, you know, you ever learn Maseches Avodah Zarah? So you're allowed to say, no, I've never learned it. Even though that would be a complete lie, because you're learning Avodah Zarah this year. So the reason why you're allowed to do that, says Rashi, is because it shows a certain sense of humility. Meaning, if someone's asking you stam for no reason, and you say, you know, no, I haven't learned it, it shows a certain sense of humility. You know, I'm not such a learned guy, I don't really know so much. There's certainly something to be said about that. So just as an aside, Tosfos pointed out in Rashi that there's a Gemara Kiddushin which based on the pasuk v'shinantem levanecha, which means and it shall be literally sharp on your tongue. So Rashi ala Torah explains v'shinantem levanecha means that when someone asks you a question in learning or in Torah, you should respond quickly, right away, without hesitation. So Tosfos wants to bring that Gemara Kiddushin as a kasha to our Gemara, to Rashi, who says that if someone asks you if you know anything, you should say, no, I don't know. But this Gemara says you should respond without hesitation. So Tosfos is Metaretz and says, depends what they're asking you for. If they're asking because you just want to know if you learned Maseches Tamura or Maseches Kiddushin, so you say, no, I haven't learned it, even if you have, because it shows humility. However, if they're asking you for a specific purpose, if they're asking you because they want to know a halachic question, let's say, so of course you should respond right away. Hey, that's the Machlokas Rashi Tosfos over there. That's not really why I brought this Gemara. I brought this Gemara really for the second reason, but we'll skip to the third one just to give the explanation. What's Ushpiza? Ushpiza means that if you are on the way and you lodge at someone's house, and they're a tremendous host, they give you a nice room, a comfortable bed, pillows that were so good you could barely fit them in your suitcase, and you know, they give you great food to eat. So when you leave, and people ask you, oh, where'd you stay? And you say, oh, I stayed at the Schwartz's. And they tell you, oh, and they ask you, how was it? So you're not supposed to say, oh, it was amazing. They were a great host. They gave me this, this, and this, and this. Great food, great bed. You're supposed to lie and say, no, it was okay, or it wasn't so good. Because if you give them all the praises, then lots of people are going to start showing up at their house, and it's going to be very overwhelming for the Schwartz's. So for that reason, you're allowed to lie about ushpiza, right? Ushpiza, from the word we know on sukkahs, ushpizin, guests that we invite to our sukkah. So ushpiza, you are allowed to lie in that case. However, the second word over here, Maseches Puraya Ushpiza, is of interest. Now, Puraya in Aramaic doesn't mean Purim, as you might think. Puraya in Aramaic actually means bed. And the Gemara is saying that one is allowed to lie when it comes to their relations with their wife. That if someone is asked, you know, did you have a relationship with your wife last night? That person is allowed to lie about it and say no. Because obviously, Rashi explains over there in the Gemara that something like relations between husband and wife is something to be kept private. And for that reason, a person is allowed to lie. You don't have to tell the truth whether that they engage in marital relations that night. However, says the Maharsha, the word puraya doesn't necessarily mean bed. It is, in fact, a reference to Purim. And so he says like this. He says, the Megillah, the Perkav of the Megillah, the Chayv Adon, the Besume Puraya, Adali Yada Ben Arham, the Baruch Mordechai, Avidi Rabbanon, the Mishanin, Lomar, the Lo Yada, Gam Imhu, Enom, Bavusan, Kolkach, the Yada. So what the Marsha, his Pshat in the Gemara, is very Mechudish. He says that when the Rabbanon said you're allowed to lie about three things, Maseches Puraya and Ushpiza, the second thing, Puraya, you're allowed to lie about how drunk you are. Meaning, if someone asks you, Shelby, if someone asks you, oh, how, you know, do you know the difference between Haman and Mordechai yet? So that's to say, no, I'm so drunk I don't know the difference. Even if you're not that drunk, and you know the difference, because the Maharsha explains that Puraya means Purim, and when the Rabbanan said you're allowed to lie about Puraya, about lie about Purim, it means lie in the context of knowing the difference between Haman and Mordechai, that you don't have to get so drunk, you can lie about how drunk you are. Okay, very interesting pshat of the Maharsha. So that is the a few different explanations of what exactly does it mean, ad lo yada. Now, the next topic I'd like to discuss in this sugya is, number one, what do I have to drink? We know wine, but what about liquor? What about beer? And if it is only wine, why specifically wine? So the answer is very simple, and contrary to popular belief or actions, the mitzvah of drink on Purim is in fact only with wine. Sorry guys, but it's only with wine, and this is really learned out from Rashi, because Rashi on that Gemara, when he says libesume, he says lishtaker b'yayin. So clearly the mitzvah is only with wine. That would exclude beer, that would exclude liquor, and the reason, if we understand the reason why is it specifically with wine? So the Be'er Halacha in Simin Tav Reish Adi Hei explains very simply. Because if you go through the Megillah, so first of all, the word Yayin is used many times over, but more specifically, the miracle that happens on on Purim frequently happens through happiness, through Suda, through Mishteh. From the beginning, right from the beginning of the Megillah, Achashverosh is throwing a party because he's in a status of drunkenness from wine. He ends up killing his wife Vashti. Then he therefore has to, you know, search for a new wife. There is Esther, throws another party. Esther throws parties. Haman throws parties. And at each one of these, the ikker part of the nace is brought about through wine. And it's for that reason that the drinking of the wine is part and parcel of remembering the miracle of Purim. And that's why we drink wine to exclude beer and liquor. And it's interesting because we also have this idea elsewhere. If you think for a second, the Hanukkah, the holiday of Hanukkah. So we do a lot of things on Hanukkah that have to do with oil. We light our candles with oil, preferably. We have latkes, we have sufganiyot. They're all fried in delicious oil. And the idea is, because the miracle on Purim was brought about through oil, so we use oil in our menorah and on these foods. So the same idea like Purim, since the miracle on Purim was over and over again brought about with wine, with mishteh, we therefore only supposed to drink wine on Purim. So we'll come back now. What is the Allah Lamaisa? What does the Shulchan Aruch Ramah say about drinking on Purim? So the Shulchan Aruch, which I always think is fascinating, because earlier in the year we saw the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef, of course, was very stark against drinking on Purim, and the Beis Yosef was Rav Yosef Karo, and he also compiled the Shulchan Aruch. And when it comes to Shulchan Aruch, he doesn't say anything like he says the Beis Yosef. He says straight up like the Gemara, Chayev Inish the Besume Bepuraya Ad Lo Yada Ben Ar Haman LeBarach Mordechai. So it seems very strange why he would go very stark in the Beis Yosef, but then the Shulchan Aruch, he says straight up to get drunk Ad Lo Yada. So interesting change of heart by Joseph Caro. But in any event, the Ramah for Rosh Ashkenazim says a different pshat. He says Yesh Omrim De'ein Sarech Lihishtaker Kolchach. You don't have to get drunk so much. Ella, rather, sheyishta yoser milimudo. You should get drunk a little more than what you're used to. V'yishan, and then go to sleep. Umitoch sheyishan eino yodeya bein arahaman lebarach Mordechai. And when you fall asleep, so you obviously, when you're sleeping, you don't know the difference between Haman and Mordechai. And for that, you will be yotzei the mitzvah. And this is the practice of many people, Ashkenazim, rabbis. I myself prefer this practice, to drink a little more than I usually do, you know, a couple of cups of wine, then more than usual, and automatically you end up passing out on someone's couch, and everything's great. And hopefully you don't wake up with too much of a hangover, or you don't throw up on someone else's floor, and that's great. Okay, so now that we've really gone through the halachic aspect of Ad Lo Yad, I'd like to spend a few minutes now on a couple of deeper ideas. Like, what exactly are we getting at when we add the lo yada? Why are we getting drunk on Purim? You know, we mentioned earlier that Lot and Noach both sinned terribly by drinking, and it seems very strange that we'd spend an entire holiday, or at least part of a holiday of the Jewish calendar, completely intoxicated and drunk. What exactly was Chazal trying to teach us? What exactly were they getting at by being in a status of drunkenness? So, to answer this question, I'd like to go over a Gemara from Masechta Shabbos that, I don't want to say it's well known, because I don't know if you guys have ever seen it before, but nonetheless, this Gemara is incredibly pertinent to Purim, and we'll learn it together, it's not so long, and then we'll try to understand the Gemara on a deeper level, and hopefully get to a better understanding of Ad Lo Yada. So the Gemara begins on Pei Chesed Aleph in Shabbos, with a pasuk from Parshas Yisra, which we read a few weeks ago. And the pasuk says, "Vayisya tzvu b'sachti sahar," which means, "And Bnei Israel stood at the foot of the mountain." However, that's not the literal translation of the pasuk, because we know that tachtis from the word tachas. So "Vayisya tzvu b'sachti sahar" means Bnei Israel literally means they stood underneath the mountain. So the Gemara makes a play on words here, and they say, "Amar Rav Dimi, Amar Rav Chama bar Chasa." We learn from here, from this pasuk, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu held Har Sinai above us like a barrel. And he said to them, if you guys accept the Torah right now, it's all good. It's good. But if not, if you don't accept the Torah, Sham tehe kivur aschem. This will be your burial place. I'll cover with you the mountain right now in this place. So Amar Rava, afal pikein, even though this occurred, hadar kiblua bimei Achashverosh. We went ahead and we reaccepted the Torah when? In the days of Achashverosh. How do we know? Because the pasuk says in Esther, kimu v'kiblu ha-yehudim, which means kimu, we established, the kiblu, we accepted, kimu, the Gemara learns, kimu ma'asha kiblu kvar. We reestablished that which we once accepted. So it's a very strange Gemara for a plethora of reasons. Number one, why exactly did Hashem have to basically put a gun to our head? He said, accept the Torah, I'm forcing you to accept the Torah with that mountain. And number two, what exactly does it mean that we reaccepted the Torah during the days of Achashverosh? What does that mean exactly? What, didn't we accept it at Har Sinai? Why are we reaccepting it? So, it's a very strange Gemara, and hopefully we'll get to an understanding of it right now. But the first question another question I'd like to raise on this Gemara is, it's very problematic with a Mefurash Pasuk in Parshat Mishpatim. Because we know in Parshat Mishpatim it says that how did the Jews accept the Torah? Na'aseh v'nishma. We will do and we will hear. Means they accepted it unconditionally. They accepted it not forcibly, as the Gemara seems to imply, but willingly. So if that's the case, if we accepted it willingly when we said Na'aseh v'nishma, why was Hashem holding a mountain over our heads? That seems to say that it was forced. So in order to answer this question, I'd like to share an idea that I saw by Rav Asher Weiss. And Rav Asher Weiss explains as follows. He says that in Achinami, when the Jews accepted the Torah at Har Sinai, it was in the status of Na'aseh v'nishma. It was in the status of complete and utter acceptance of whatever Hashem says we will do, without any reservations, without any without any regret, without any reluctance. We accepted the Torah, we were totally... And the words Na'aseh v'nishma, we will do and we will listen, meaning we are totally mevatel our ratzon, we're mevatel our das, our seichel, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is above us in both seichel and in understanding, and whatever He says goes, and we will totally follow what He says. That's what happened in Har Sinai. However, between Har Sinai and the story of Purim, there was a very big mess up by a certain someone. And that someone was... the first king of Israel, Shaul HaMelech. And Shaul HaMelech was told by Hashem to go and wage war against Amalek. This appears in Peret HaZvav of Sefer Shmuel Aleph. And Shaul goes and he wages war. And he defeats Amalek. And Hashem says, I want you to kill every single last one of them, the women, the children, and don't take any of their loot, every one of them. And Shaul does that, except for one person. He doesn't kill. Who doesn't he kill? He doesn't kill the king of Amalek, takes him as captive. And the king of Amalek was a person by the name of Agag. And in fact, when you read the Megillah next week, you'll notice that Haman is referred to Haman ben Hamadasa ha'Agagi. Haman ben Hamadasa ha'Agagi, the Agagite. Why the Agagite? Because we know that Haman was a descendant of Amalek. He ultimately descended from Agag. Because what happened was, Shaul kept him alive an extra day, and while he was captive, he was able to have a relationship with a woman, and therefore, even though Agag was killed by Shmuel the next day, he was able to continue on the progeny, able to continue on the seed of Amalek, by having that relations unbeknownst to Shaul. Now, Rav Asher Weiss explains that what Shaul did was he completely failed in carrying out the will of Hashem. Carry out the command of Hashem. Hashem commanded him something very simple. Kill every single one of the Amalekim. And by failing to do so, he completely disregarded the notion of doing Hashem's ratzon without any reservations, without any giving over of his own intellect, without giving of his own intuition. Doing things because the way he felt he wanted to do. Totally disregarding the Torah, totally disregarding Hashem's command. So if that's the case, if that's where Shaul failed, when we come to the story of Purim,
And all of a sudden, Haman is back on the scene. Amalek is back on the scene. And we totally defeat Amalek and we defeat Haman. So now it became a reaccepting of the Torah. Not literally a reaccepting, but a reaccepting it of the status of Na'aseh V'Nishma. Because even though we accepted the Torah, Na'aseh V'Nishma on Har Sinai, Shaul failed in that regard. When he didn't listen to Hashem to kill Agag, he failed in the Na'aseh V'Nishma. He was no longer doing it because Hashem told him. He was doing what his own will, what his own Seichel told him to do. That was a total disregard for the Torah. Now comes Purim, and when we re-accept the Torah, when we killed Haman, when we killed Amalek once and for all, we therefore came again to the status of Na'aseh V'Nishma. So says Rav Asher Weiss, this may be a deeper understanding for why specifically on Purim we have a strange obligation to get drunk Ad Delo Yada. Because he says when a person reaches the status of Ad Delo Yada, they no longer have the ability to use their seichel. They no longer have the ability to use their mind in the proper way. And so that represents a total batala, a total canceling out of our own will, of our own intellect, for Hashem's will and Hashem's intellect and Hashem's ratzon. And when we do that on Purim, that again shows the Na'aseh V'Nishma. So he explains to Rav Asher Weiss, that's why we get drunk on Purim. To show the Na'aseh V'Nishma, to show the total batala of our ratzon, of our seichel, for Hashem's ratzon. And that's how we re-accepted the Torah. That's what the Gemara means when we re-accept the Torah during the days of Achashverosh. A very interesting take by Rav Asher Weiss. And I also wanted to just say that there's also a very interesting idea, a deeper idea given over by Rav Huttner in a Sefer Pachad Yitzchak. And it's also a kind of a deep idea, but explain it very bekitzer, and that is that when you have things that are different, the real way to compare them is to bring them very close together. And he gives the example of the Seir La'azalzel and the Seir La'Hashem that we offer on Yom Kippur. And the Gemara Numa tells us that the two goats that we take on Yom Kippur, they have to be exactly the same height, they have to look the same, they have to be the same price. They look entirely identical. However, we know that they are both going to entirely different ends. One of them is going to be thrown off a cliff and be a kapara for the sins of Israel, and one of them is going to be offered on the Mizbeach as a korban for Hashem. Very similar, but going in completely opposite directions. So when it comes to, says Rav Huttner, when it comes to us drinking on Purim, so we are now going to engage in an activity which, according to Judaism, is not something that we generally do. We do not believe in getting drunk. It's definitely something that is frowned upon in general. It's something that we really ascribe to being a goyish activity. Something that goyim do, and when goyim do it, they behave like animals. They say things that they don't really want to say. They might hurt people they don't want to hurt. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to reach that point of being drunk. To reach on a physical level, to be similar to the goyim, be at the same time retain our spirituality, retain our separateness by making our drunken state on Purim a state of Kedusha. The fact that we're eating at a Seuda, doing mitzvos, reciting Divrei Torah, that shows how when you bring two things close together, only then can you really see how different they are. It's a little bit of a deep idea. I'm probably not giving it justice, but this is the idea that Huttner wants to bring forth when it comes to drinking on Purim. That drinking on Purim brings us closer to our enemies, brings us closer to our Gentile counterparts. However, even when we're in that status of being close to them, we're still entirely separate. We're still in a status of Kedusha, we're still doing the mitzvos, we're still serving Hashem in that way. There's also an idea that, just as my own interpretation of what does it mean Ad Lo Yada over the years, and that is that when a person gets drunk, the truth comes out, like, let's say. And this is really based on the Gemara Sanhedrin. The Gemara Sanhedrin says, Nichnas Yayin, Yatsa Sod. Which means when wine goes in, out comes the secrets. And it's true, when a person's been drunk, I'm sure we've all been drunk to a certain extent here before. And, when a person's drunk, certain things are said that maybe a person wouldn't have said when they're sober, whatever their deeper thoughts, their deeper intuitions suddenly come out. So all of a sudden, Purim is this idea of just being a real person. Be yourself. Stop being fake. Stop being, trying to be somebody else. Just be yourself. Be yourself as a person. Be yourself as an Eved Hashem. And this is ultimately what drinking is supposed to be. It's not drinking to a point of halus, a point of shtus, and just being totally animal-like and saying things and doing disgusting things. It can be a really holy thing that you come to realize that there's really what you're all about, and what you're all about as a human being, what you're all about as an Eved Hashem, that just let the wine flow and let the truth come out. That's really what I've seen over the years, what happens to a lot of people when they drink in a holy way, and I hope that we all could reach that point. You know, we saw that there's many different shitas when it comes to drinking on Purim, and every person's got to decide for themselves how they want their Purim to be. You know, I've seen people just totally, from the start of the day, get drunk, throw up, they end up passing out, and they really don't experience the real Kedusha of the day of Purim. The day of Purim, of connecting with other Jews, through Matanos de Avionim, Mishloach Manos, the Kedusha of the day, of a new Kabbalah Satorah, of setting aside time to learn, of giving tzedakah. There's really a lot to take in on Purim, a tremendous day of tefillah. You know, Kol HaPoshet Yad, the Rambam says, everyone who sticks out their hand, you're obligated to give them tzedakah. There's no questions asked. So the Sifrei Chassidus explained that Hashem's the same way. Kol HaPoshet Yad on Purim, whoever sticks out their hand on Purim, Hashem's going to answer them. If you stick out your hand in tefillah to Hashem, Hashem will answer your tefillahs on Purim. It's an auspicious day for tefillah, auspicious day for Torah learning, auspicious day for Achdus Yisrael, Ahavas Yisrael, Ahavas Hashem, recognizing Hashem as Hashkacha Pratis, as we see in the Megillah, we'll discuss hopefully next week, you know, the holy Yisod, the whole essence of what Purim is really all about for us nowadays. But whatever it is that you find to be significant in terms of your drinking, do it to the fullest. If you like the Ramah Shita, that you should get drunk and then fall asleep, that's great. If you want to get drunk you can't calculate, you know, the gematria of Mordechai and Haman anymore, that's great. But whatever you do, do it in holiness. And I'd just like to conclude our shir tonight with the following idea. The following is brought down in the Be'er Halacha on that same Simen Tafer Shadihe in the Shulchan Aruch. And he says, you know, even though a person should enjoy his Purim and enjoy his Seudah and his Mishdah, however, he quotes the Chaya Adam, that a person should always remember the following thing, and that is, Omnam Hayodeya Be'atzma, She Zalzil Az Be'mitzvos Min HaMitzvos Min Kilos Yadayim U'Brichas HaMazon Osho Yispala Mincha Omariv Oshi Yirho Kalos Rosh Mutav Shelo Yishtaker. Says the Chaya Adam, if a person knows that he's going to be Mizalza, if he's going to disgrace the mitzvahs of the day, including Kilos Yadayim, including benching, davening mincha, davening mariv, or any other kind of kalos rosh, any kind of foolishness, better that he not drink at all. Because kol ma'asav yu l'shem shemayim, all of our actions, b'ezra Hashem, should be l'shem shemayim. We should do things for the right sake. We should do things not for the sake of getting drunk and being an animal, but for the sake of kedusha and holiness. And for that reason, we should be extremely careful in making sure that we perform all the mitzvahs of the day and also enjoy our time at Asuda, in drinking, and in connecting with other Jews. Okay, shkoyach, guys.